It's the Tim DeMoss Show. Very glad to bring on board Dr. Michael Youssef from Leading the Way. How are you today, sir?
I'm rejoicing. Thank you for having me, Tim.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have the program each weekday afternoon at 5:30, also several times on the weekend, and ltw.org for folks who'd like to look more into the ministry. There's a book we want to talk about. You've written many. This one in particular special, and that is the 20th anniversary edition coming up, being released September 7th. It's Empowered by Praise. Tell us some of the backstory for it.
Yes, it was really a tough time. You and I were talking about your family and about suffering a little earlier. And my wife was in her early 40s, and we have four children at the time. Now we have 11 grandchildren.
Wow.
And back then, the youngest was really in first grade, and there are 10 years between the first and the fourth. And then she was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, that just the term cancer kind of brings shivers to your spine. And it was one of the serious one. And I panicked, I must admit, first of all. And I began to look to heaven. I said, Lord, what would I do with all those kids? And it really took me just literally a few hours to kind of talk to the Lord in a way, kind of pleading with him. And then the Lord says, would you let me teach you some lessons so that you don't waste this experience? I said, Lord, you know, you have been so good to me through the years. And many of my listeners know that, you know, I am not a stranger to suffering from the days where literally persecution growing up in the Middle East and escaping my home country and all the experience that I've been through. And so I said, Lord, you know, this is another experience for me to experience you and your grace and your mercy afresh. And so the Lord said, I want to teach you a lesson of how to praise me in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of suffering. And as the Lord began to teach me how to praise him and how to worship him and be above the circumstances and just focus on him and his grace and mercy, it was one of those inexplicable situations where I was lifted up and my wife was lifted up and we've been through all the chemotherapy and all the other stuff being lifted up. And we said, we got to share this with others. And so we put together this book, Empowered by Praise, and really wanted to share it, you know, with lots of people of how to experience the power that comes from learning how to praise God. A lot of people, when they talk about praise, they think of a praise band in the church and just the kind of all music. And even now they refer to singing as worship. And I said, worship is a whole lot more than just singing. Singing is wonderful and it's important and it's a major part of my life and it's great. But worship comes from the Latin word for worship. So what is God worth? It's just a song, and he's worth more than a song. And so we wrote the book, Empowered by Praise, and I walk the reader through what it means to come into the presence of God in praise, individually, of course, as well as corporately, but individually on a daily basis, to learn to come into the presence of God in praising God, worshiping God, ministering to the Lord in praise. It puts you in a place of posture of worship and therefore really puts you in a posture of being blessed and receiving a blessing. So, you know, I put that book together some 20 years ago, but then I did a whole new series of messages and Charisma said, well, let's do a new book. And we call it the 20th anniversary edition. So it's really updated and a lot more experiences, of course, since then, a lot more, you know, you go through life and it's never static and more stories from my personal life and the life of others that I've pastored and ministered to. And so it is my prayer that this is really going to ignite in people the ability to look beyond all the misery that we have been going through, especially with COVID and illnesses and horrors and pandemics and all the stuff that's going around us. And it's just too much of it.
Hey, folks, just tuning in, Dr. Michael Youssef from Leading the Way, our guest on the Tim DeMoss Show today on WFIL. You know, and as you're speaking there, I'm thinking, since the original edition came out, what's different? What's happened since then? And I believe your book even addresses some of the things, even how social media has popped up on the scene and what that has done, but also events like the World Trade Center even. But at the same time, God's God. God hasn't changed. And so there's continuity, right?
Exactly. I mean, all the stuff that we all have been through, corporately, individually, and whatever that we have experienced, you know, for me, that lesson is really been magnified. Instead of looking back and said, well, that was experience at that time, it continues to be a daily experience and, in fact, is growing. And I tell people, you know, the Christian walk is an uphill walk because you can't stand still if you climb. And I love hiking. And if you're climbing up, you can't stand still. You're gonna slip and go down. So you have to keep going up. You can't stand still. And so it is constantly upward and onward. And we cannot come to a point and say, well, I've just reached a level now where I'm going to just sit back and say, this is enough. I've done enough. I served enough. I am mesmerized at the fact that, of course, I'm at 73. So many of my seminary classmates at 65, they all retired. And I scratched my head and I said, what in the world would I do retired? I mean, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm writing 2 books a year. I'm preaching 42 Sundays out of the year and ministering and pastoring and counseling, and I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I work 16 hours a day. I tell my colleagues, well, how many golf rounds can you do? And I'm not a golfer. I guess I don't have, you know, my hobby is to just minister. And so you can't stop. You can't say, well, you know, this is it. I'm going to just take it easy now. Because in reality, you really, for me anyway, I can speak for myself, I'm really now have become dead before dying. And so I'm not going to die before I die.
I love that. And, you know, my dad at 93 has reminded me, he said, Tim, I've been able to, the Lord's used me more, say, after 40 or 50 than before. And it's very easy, I think. I was having this conversation with someone recently about how when you get to 40 or 50, if life has changed, your job changed, maybe you start feeling like it's too late to start anything new, and you're kind of like, I'm just going to ride things out till you die. Like, wait a minute. Don't. So that's, I love what you're saying there. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And the Lord honors that, you know, and it's not me saying that, but members of my congregation who have been with me from the very beginning, founding members, who come to me and said, where is this energy coming from? You got more energy now in your 70s than when you're in your 50s.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, one thing is that I went out and lost a whole bunch of weight and got exercised, and I'm more active physically than I did back then. So, and the Lord honored that desire, so I got more energy.
Interesting.
For that, I praise God, yeah.
That's a good practical word. Folks tuning in, Dr. Michael Youssef, kind enough to spend a little time with us today. From Leading the Way, you can catch it 5:30 each weeknight, several times over the weekend as well, and ltw.org for more info on the ministry and all the other things that are going on, including the books. We're talking today specifically about Empowered by Praise, the 20th anniversary edition. How different, if someone has bought the first one and they're familiar with it, will this be very similar or different enough that it's, you know, it's something to pick up as well?
I doubt whether anybody would remember that 20 years ago, but even if they do, that is the book is totally upgraded and by a whole lot of new, you know, as I already been talking, you know, you don't stand still, and therefore so many more experiences, so many more events that have taken place in my life. Although the original event, of course, though, was kind of that jolted me into that original lesson that God said, I want to teach you. I don't want you to wallow in your sorrow or in your trial, but I want you to rise above it by teaching you how to praise me. That continued and began to grow and grow and grow. So all that 20-year experience of growing in praise has come into the new book, and that's why I really would encourage people to read it, because it's not going to be, it's never stale. It's always a fresh word from the Lord and encouragement, stories from my own life and the life of others that I have seen, how living above the circumstances and living victoriously regardless of the circumstances. I think you have shared with me something, I hope it's not very private, but it's so powerful about your mom.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, when she was going through some suffering and your dad was saying, you know, just I hate for you to suffer. She said, I'm not suffering. That is truly a person who has learned to live in the power of praise.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not in pain. I'm not suffering. I'm in pain, but I'm not suffering.
I'm in pain, but not suffering. Yeah, well, that's profound. That really is profound.
Yeah.
So, Dr. And I had the privilege of knowing both your mom and dad for many years, and I can testify to the fact that their godliness and their walk with the Lord through the years has been an inspiration to me.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God for that. And, you know, each of the chapters in Empowered by Praise, the first word is praise. And then there's a verb of some sort, or what praise does. Praise brings God near. Praise connects us to heaven, and so forth.
Yep.
How important is the order? On the surface, it looks like you could shuffle them, and just each chapter stands on its own. But is the order from 1 to 13 super important in terms of how it was constructed, and what went into that thought process for that?
Well, I mean, you know, when people used to say, for example, talk about the four spiritual laws, and it says they're inspired. I said, no, listen, nothing inspired except the Word of God. So my book is not inspired. Like, you know, the Word of God is the only thing that's inspired. This is just kind of my own preferences, but they have a logic about them. But in reality, is when you think about it, when I was influenced by the book of Revelation, and in the book of Revelation, the one thing you see again and again and again, what are they doing up there? They are constantly praising God, holy, holy, holy. They're constantly in a state of praise and adoration and worship. And what puts us in connection with them? What lines us up with the angels and with those who have gone ahead of us? Is a praise. And the moment we start praising God, we are literally lining up with the saints who have gone ahead of us and with the angels of heaven. And so, you know, that is the kind of logic that, at least from my thinking, and I'm very careful not to to ascribe inspiration to anything I write.
That's great. Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest from Leading the Way, the Tim DeMoss Show, and WFIL in Philadelphia. I know you have a heart for those who don't yet know the Lord, in addition to those who do. And radio in particular can speak to folks in the privacy of their cars, right? Or in their homes, wherever, or in their earbuds. I wonder if you could just take a moment and speak specifically to those who might be listening today who haven't specifically committed their lives to the Lord yet. Even if it's whatever you would say to them, or even something specifically, just the core of the gospel message and what the heart of that is.
Sure. You know, I live in one of those rare high-rise in Atlanta, and I have many non-believers in this building, and I have the privilege of witnessing to them. And because when you're a pastor, you are working with pastors and you're working with believers and elders, and so the great joy for me is to be in a building and neighbors who are really not believers at all, and many secular and some Jewish and others. So I get into conversation with them. And one time I was talking to one, he said, Michael, I'm just a heathen. And I said, well, so am I. And he said, what? You're a man of the cloth. I said, no. I said, Bill, you don't understand. You're a heathen and you know it. I'm a heathen and I know it. I said, the difference between us is that I'm a heathen and acknowledged it, but I discovered that I desperately need a Savior to save me from being a heathen in order to eternally be saved from the consequences of being a sinner. And I needed a Savior to take me from hell, which is the destination of all heathens, to heaven, which is the place where confessing sinners go. And so it is so simple, yet people stumble over it. We're all sinners. We're born sinners. We practice sin. the only difference between those who know and love Jesus and those who don't is that we acknowledge we're sinners, we know we're sinners, and we desperately need the Savior to save us from our sin and from the wages or the consequences or the payments of that sin. The Bible makes it very clear that there are consequences, there are wages, and that is eternity in a place called hell, which really was not designed for humanity, is designed for Satan and for those who follow him and for those who reject Christ and reject his salvation. And so God did his part. He literally left the glories of heaven and came to earth, lived as the poorest of the poor, hung on a cross, bled and died, and rose again on the third day. And then ever since his arms being stretched on that cross, even though he did not stay on that cross, he was died and was buried and rose again, but his arms still open to everyone who would come to him and say, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I have broken your laws, and I deserve hell, but you offered me heaven, you offered me forgiveness, you offered me grace, and you're offering me mercy. And coming to Christ in that kind of attitude of humility and contriteness, God says, come, because whomsoever comes to me, I promise that I will not reject you. I will give you forgiveness. I will give you eternal life. And that is why the gospel is so simple, and yet the only thing that holds people from coming to Christ is pride. Human pride is the number one enemy for individuals to coming and receiving salvation and being assured that the moment they close their eyes on death, they will be in all of eternity in heaven. You know, we have one of the greatest lies that has been perpetrated on humanity that comes out of Hollywood and is repeated in the movies and the television, that everybody, when they die, they go to heaven. And I'll tell people, I said, just think about this. Heaven is all about Jesus. And if you don't like Jesus here, right. And if you don't love Jesus here, how are you going to spend all of eternity with him in heaven? And so not everybody, when they die, they go to a better place. That is not true. That's a lie. And so come to him now. Believe in him now. Surrender to him now. Because he loves you and he wants to forgive you eternally. And so that you would be assured that for all of eternity, you will be with him in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Michael Youssef from Leading the Way, our guest on the Tim DeMoss Show today on WFIL in Philadelphia. You know, you've been serving the Lord in many ways for many years. If you step back and look over the landscape, what do you see of God himself, and what have you, you know, learned about him over the years?
The amazing thing, I read the Bible once through the year. I have a Bible called the Daily Chronological Bible, and it helps me to discipline myself, because January 1 all the way to December 31, so I go through every day. And I've been doing this for years now, and every year as I go through the Bible, the one thing that never ceases to amaze me after all these years is the incredible patience and the perseverance and the mercy of God. After people of Israel, his own people, what they do, and idolatry, and all of this, and he constantly gives, come back, turn to me, turn to me. And as I see how people in America, a country that I love so dearly, I long to come here since I was a boy, and so many blessings in this country, and the freedom in this country, and so many now turning their back, half of the nation now want to basically don't want anything to do with God. And yet God's still merciful, and he's still holding his hand to America to come back. And I'm praying, and we got about 125, almost 130,000 people signed up to pray daily for a revival. I am still holding out that we will have an awakening before the return of Christ. And so I am dreaming of a day that we will have a third great awakening in America, because God is merciful and he can have mercy on us again in this great country. This country has done more for the world than any country in history, and I know history. And I really think God has a soft spot still for America, despite of our wickedness, despite of the bloodshed of abortion, despite of all the horrific decisions by our courts. I still believe God has a soft spot, because this nation has taken the gospel to the ends of the earth and has done so much for the world. And so I still think that God is holding his hand out and saying, come to me. It is not too late. I still will forgive you. So I am not giving up on America, and I'm really hoping and praying. But by the same token, I'm also taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have a television station 24/7 taking the gospel to 100 million homes in the Arabic-speaking world called Kingdom Sat, or Malakot Sat in Arabic. And literally, 12-hour programming repeated twice, 24 hours in all these millions, hundreds of millions of homes around the world. And we're seeing so many Muslims coming to Christ at literally, I mean, signing their own death when they come to Christ, converted to Christ. And I have met with so many of them all over the Arab world and in Europe. And the death threats come from their own families. And yet the joy they have for discovering the love of Jesus Christ and being assured and knowing that they'll go to heaven when they die, it's just amazing to me. And part of me thinks maybe this is the end of time. God is gathering his elect from every corner of the globe. Either way, I am just seeing some amazing things God is doing around the world, and I'm just thrilled to be a small part of it.
It's really wonderful talking with you and hearing the words of wisdom and insight you're sharing and pointing us to the Lord. And just last question for you, if I could, you mentioned your heritage also. I think since we talk about this on the show here, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. And so whenever I have someone on the show who has a history in another country or came from another country, I love hearing a little bit about what God's doing, or just culturally speaking, anything to help us realize that it's more than our own little circle of what we're comfortable with. Any insights you might have on Egypt and other places you've been too?
Sure. I'll say this is a word of encouragement to the believers, especially those who may be discouraged about praying. You know, in 2011 and 12, we had the Arab Spring, and things really looked bleak when the Muslim Brotherhood power came to power for 12 months, and the persecution of Christians in Egypt really heated up. There are 10 to 15 million Christians in Egypt. And what happened is the Christians went on their knees and began to pray. Churches were packed 24/7. Now, I preach there twice a year, have been doing this now for 40 years. And I have many churches that I have preached, and I've many church leaders I've trained through the years. And they would say to me, 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't get a seat. People are praying, coming in and praying. And then God heard their prayers, and he answered their prayers. And he raised up this wonderful president, President Sisi. I met him twice already, one time 3 hours. I just thank God. And I told him, I said, he is God's answer to the prayer of the Christians. And God raised him up as a Muslim man, a devout Muslim, but a good man. God raised him up, and he immediately rebuilt all the burned churches and helped the Christians. And he's so kind to the Christian community. But it took 12 months of crying to God, and the Muslim Brotherhood, it literally has gone in the bin of history, and who were in power, and now they got a decent president and a good, decent government. So God still in the business of hearing and answering prayers. He heard the cries of these wonderful believers in Egypt. He can hear the cries of the wonderful believers in the United States of America. So, body of Christ, don't give up praying.
Amen. And how can they pray for you, speaking of which?
Well, pray that I finish well.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a great word. Dr. Yes. Michael Youssef, our guest, thank you so much for leading the way in the new book, or the book, and that's being re-released, Empowered by Praise, the 20-year anniversary coming up soon, and ltw.org for more info on that, on the radio ministry, if you want to support the ministry as well. And it's great to hear your voice, and Lord willing, we can do so again sometime.
Thank you, Tim. I look forward to it, brother.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too, brother.